Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared with him Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus,
Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.
While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said,
This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him.
When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying,
Get up and do not be afraid.
And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them,
Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead.
The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. So today we are up on a mountain again, and this may not seem strange because we've been up on this mountain, right, the last 3 weeks at least, but what we don't really get well from the lectionary today is that there's been a lot that's happened between what we heard last week and what we hear today. And there's a part that's in the Bible that is kept out of today's reading, and it says 6 days later. And so we're going to just talk about that 6 days later in just one moment. But again, just to recap the importance of this mountain, Pastor Jason and I have kind of gone back and forth the last couple weeks saying how important it is for Matthew to align Jesus with Moses. We've made this clear with the picture over there, sorry, the window over there that shows Moses receiving the commandments. We've talked about the importance of this mountaintop place for teaching and for receiving instruction, which is what Jesus has been doing. But now we have Jesus back on the mountaintop, but things here are a little different. And so I go back to what we have missed, because this is 6 days later. 6 days later. And sometimes these transitions are so easy just to pass by. So I'm going to fill you in on what happened 6 days ago. There's this conversation between Jesus and the disciples, and Jesus is wondering, hey, who do people say that I am? And the disciples make a bunch of guesses. It says, they say, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, saying, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And upon that, Jesus answers him, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. So there's this encounter. And then right after, Jesus is sharing more about his death and what's going to happen and how he's going to be persecuted and mocked and killed. But then he will rise. And when this is happening, Peter took him aside and began to, Simon Peter said, "No, Lord, this can't be it. God, I forbid it. This must never happen to you." And Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block for me." So 6 days ago, we have this encounter where Peter all of a sudden gets it. Peter understands the true identity of Jesus, and then right after, fails to understand, and is actually given the harshest rebuke contained in the Gospels. "Get behind me, Satan. On you I will build my church. Get behind me, Satan." So that all happened just 6 days ago. And now we are here. And Peter here is confronted even more with the reality of who God is, who Jesus is. As Jesus is transfigured before him, his face becomes bright as the sun and his clothes dazzling white. In this event, Jesus is no longer just saying who he is. He is showing who he is. And just in case we haven't caught all of these connections that we've been stressing between the Hebrew scriptures and Jesus, here we have Moses and Elijah side by side talking with him. And as one commentator mentions, the transfiguration emerges from a stream of tradition, expecting the return of the great prophets Moses and Elijah as harbingers of the divine revolution. Their presence marks Jesus as their heir, their collaborator in this holy work. So they are there kind of supporting Jesus in this work. And so Peter reaches out, and God bless Peter. He tries to be as faithful as possible, saying, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us create 3 dwelling places, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, if you wish." And Peter has kind of gotten a bad rap for this. You know, there's this talk about wanting to keep this mountaintop experience. We all know what that is like, right? We have this great experience, and we just want to stay there. Maybe it's when we're here, we just want to stay here. But that's not what God has in store. But I more truly believe that Peter is trying to be hospitable to these people, these strong, faithful prophets, this living God right in our presence. So Peter, I think, is really trying to be faithful and is trying to do what he thinks must be done. But of course, it even gets more intense after that, and a cloud overshadows the disciples, and the voice of God cries out of it, repeating the words that were spoken in Jesus' baptism. Except this time, instead of just to Jesus, everyone hears it. "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now picture you, a human who has been traveling with this man that you knew was special but looked like a human, right? And then all of a sudden, you're on this mountain, and he does this wild thing where he starts shining like the sun and his clothes are dazzling white. That's a little scary. And then the prophets that are long dead show up. I think that's a little more up in the ante a little bit. And then this cloud comes and overpowers, and the very voice of God comes out of it. Y'all, I don't blame the disciples. I would be down probably at the base of the mountain by now. That is some scary stuff. It is too much for the disciples. And I hope that until this point, you can see the kind of direct parallels between the Exodus story and the story we get from Mark. You have this cloud, you have people that are there, you have God's voice. But here, this is when God does something new, something that God did not do for Moses in the Exodus reading, because we have this person of Jesus Christ. God comes from that cloud. God closes that gap between God's self and us through this person that is Jesus that has been traveling with the disciples. God comes to us, our Emmanuel, bends down and touches the disciples and says, get up and do not be afraid. Get up, do not be afraid. And I think that touch, again, is something that we easily overlook. That God's self comes out of that cloud and reaches down to support us. And with that, the event is over. Jesus is back to normal, probably has some dust on his robe. His face goes back to looking like it did before. But everything has changed. And I can't even begin to imagine what it's like going down that mountain, knowing what has happened and what will happen, because remember, what happened 6 days ago is still on their minds. They still know that Jesus, there was this temporary moment that perhaps gave them strength and resilience and courage, but they are still going to the cross. Jesus is still going to be killed. And even though these words about suffering are real, even though we know that this death will happen and the persecution will come not only for Jesus but for those disciples, perhaps with this moment on the mountain, there's some resilience gained by being able to see Jesus as who Jesus most fully and truly is. Perhaps that gives some strength to say, okay, we can do this. We can do this. I imagine that seeing Jesus in his full glory provided some sort of resilience for what they will encounter once they are off that mountaintop. And I know that the touch of Jesus and the reassuring words, do not be afraid, must bring some ease. Because the truth is that our God reaches out time and time again to give us the reassuring sustenance that we need to continue on. Reaches out to us in the hand that is given bread and wine. Reaches out to us with the very body and blood of Christ. We are reached out as we remember our baptism, even though some of y'all dodge when the water gets sprayed towards you. But that hand reaching out and that water coming from it is God reaching out. God reaches out as we remember Scripture, as we read God's Word. And God reaches out in this community by drawing us together, by giving us moments like that mountaintop experience. And as this community, God invites us to live a transfigured life. But what does that look like? What does it look like to have our faces shine like the sun and become dazzling white? What does that look like? Jesus on the mountain showed Jesus' full self in all his glory, power, and brilliance. And in doing so, empowered himself and his disciples to go off the mountain, go into the violence of the cross event. And so I'm wondering if perhaps what it means to live transfigured is to be able to show our true and our full selves to one another in order to build up this community that will last through all types of trouble. And so this Lent, something that I'm very excited that we are going to do is we are going to share those bits of our stories. Each week, you're going to hear a story about a turning point in someone's faith, someone who is sitting in the pews next to you. And hopefully, in that moment of sharing and vulnerability, and maybe peeling back what we like to keep hidden, hopefully in that moment, we can experience Christ. We can experience those holy moments that were experienced by Peter on the mountaintop that day. This is the same holy ground, I think, that the disciples stood on. And when Jesus was transfigured before them, when Jesus showed his true self, I believe he gave us an example to follow, to show our true selves, because that is what gives us tools to continue being out in the world. It gives us the strength and the courage to go through those times of trouble. And so my prayer for us as we enter this Lenten season is that we take risks in sharing ourselves as Christ did, both here on the mountaintop, as he did on the cross, and as he did in the resurrection. My prayer for us is that we look upon this experience and think about what we can learn, what we can learn about the strength that there can be in telling and showing oneself to the other. My other prayer is that we see the sharing as tools for resistance as we travel through the wilderness of Lent, and that we trust in and truly feel God reaching out to us through all of those things I have named, but especially through the person sitting right next to you in the pew. Because, y'all, that trip down the mountain was hard. We didn't want to go back down the mountain. We wanted to stay there. But because of that community that is bonded together over what they experienced, they were able to go and do and finish the work of God. And so I pray that we trust that God's words spoken of Jesus on the mount are the same words spoken to us, that we are beloved, and that God is with us, and that God is well pleased with us, and so that even when it is hard for us to remember, someone can remind us. That is the gift of the Transfiguration, I believe. And so I ask you this season, try to figure out what it means to live a transfigured life for you. Amen.